Well, guys, this morning we're gonna talk about forgiveness. This is a light topic, not hard at all, not difficult, not challenging, not important. Joking, obviously, it is paramount in our faith.
Can you share your screen?
Yeah, let me see. Sorry. That's fine.
Okay. Got it. Share content, screen. Start broadcast. Not available.
We'll just get the audio.
All right. Sorry about that. I can send the slides to you guys if that helps. Actually, I'm kind of locked into this now. Hold on. Let me see if I can get out of it. I can't get out of it. Let's see. Go back. There we go.
All right. So what I'm going to do is there's a lot of information here. And instead of just trying to speed through it this morning, I'm just going to break it down into two sections so we can have some discussion. Next week, what we'll do is we'll kind of do the tail end of this lesson, which is a Q&A, kind of walking through scenarios and situations. And like I said, this is paramount to our faith. Obviously, forgiveness from God is what allows us to be Christians, allows us to have an eternity with Him. Without that forgiveness, there's no possibility of that. And so you see here the title, Paying It Forward. Obviously, we receive forgiveness. So therefore, God calls us to give that to forgiveness to others. It's an imperative. It's not a suggestion. And so this morning, I want us to look at several scriptures and what that looks like and actually try to define forgiveness. You know, that's one of those terms that's kind of tossed out there in regards to, okay, I know what it means to be forgiven by God. But what does that look like with my fellow man or my fellow sister and brother in Christ? What does that look like in the world today? When God tells me to forgive others, and there's these offenses that I have to endure, perpetual offenses many times. You know, it's just one thing for somebody to do something terrible, to have a traumatic event happen to you, to have someone that you trusted do something terrible to you and move past that one event. That's tough enough. But when somebody just continues to perpetually hurt you, how do you deal with that? And so those are some of the topics. Like I said, it's a fairly not light topic, but a heavy topic, but one that's important because the Lord calls us to pay critical attention to it. So let's look at Colossians 3:13 here and what Paul says about this. This is his exhortation to us, and he says this to start in verse 12. It's interesting. He says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. And so he starts out with this compassionate heart. Everything starts from a right heart, and that heart is given to us by the Lord. We can't bootstrap this heart up ourselves. And so God gives us this ability to have compassion, and he moves forward to have kindness, which we've talked about already, humility, meekness, and patience. And he says bearing with one another, and of course Ryan talked about that in detail, what it looks like to bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also, what does he say? Must forgive. It's not a suggestion. It's an imperative. So what does that look like? So this morning, I'm going to talk about that. And like I said, I'll send the slides to you guys. I want to talk about what Jesus says about forgiveness, too, because obviously I want this lesson to be saturated in the Word of God. The Word of God is clear over and over again about the importance of forgiveness. And we'll look at two texts here in a moment, and then next week we'll finish with a text in Matthew where Peter actually approaches the topic in Matthew 18 of forgiveness after Jesus gives that model of how to deal with conflict resolution. And Peter's so intrigued by it, Peter in turn asks the question, that's what I love about Peter, is Peter doesn't hold anything back. He lets you know what he's thinking. And because he lets you know what he's thinking, we get to know what he was thinking, which is fascinating to me. You know, sometimes we just kind of take that for granted. But if he wasn't that type of guy, you know, and the Lord didn't design him that way, then we wouldn't have those screenshots of what's going on there. So let's look at what Christ says about forgiveness. I'm going to get somebody to read Matthew 6:14-15 for me. Y'all don't all start at once.
For if you forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Just out, right? It's an if-then statement. And, of course, we could dig into that statement and look at all the different moving parts to it. But ultimately, Christ is calling us to forgive others as we have been forgiven. And so we see here that giving and receiving forgiveness is eternally connected. Ever thought about that? When we practice that practically, it's eternally connected to God's forgiveness to us that has been set forth beyond the scope of time. And so we have this beautiful connection there that we get to participate in. If we didn't have that forgiveness, we wouldn't be able to participate in this wonderful act of forgiving others. Rather than it being dreadful, we should see it as an opportunity. The second thing is, it is a pillar of our faith. And we see that in the Lord's Prayer, right? What does it say? It depends on if you're Baptist or Presbyterian. You might use a different word there. What is it?
Forgive us our debts.
Forgive us our debts. Yeah, exactly. Or forgive us our trespasses. Yeah, exactly. And so there again, Christ is sharing this very important, very instructional prayer, and that's a piece of it. And not only is it just a piece of, Lord, forgive me, but also as I do what? As I participate in this forgiveness to others. In other words, there's that link again. So it's just really interesting. And then somebody read Luke 6:32-35.
And another point on this one, Ray, is as we're forgiving others, it brings us back to talk about it being eternally connected. It brings us back to the Lord forgiving us, which is much more of a deep forgiveness of us forgiving others.
Oh, okay.
It's a point of thanksgiving again. It goes back to we have so much more be get forgiven for than what we are doing for others on this earth. It puts us in perspective of what we are forgiven for.
Definitely. No doubt. Great point. When you put it on the scales,
right.
It doesn't even equate at all. Very good point. And it helps us to have, it keeps our, and we'll talk about this in more detail later, but that helps to manage our perspective on it too. Okay, so Luke 6:32-35. Anybody? Yes, ma'am.
If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good. And lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for it is kind to the ungrateful and the evil.
When you read that, it sounds so beautiful to hear that passage and to rest in that promise personally. But then, I know for me at times, when I think about loving my enemy, how challenging that is. You know, there's this principle that we embrace and we see it as beautiful, but then there's that practice sometimes that's disconnected from that principle. I mean, we see clearly that Christ is calling us to do what? To be countercultural, counterintuitive, and counterflesh. Because our flesh says vindication. Our flesh says retribution. Our initial default is we're going to get it back and I'm completely justified. It's almost as if, and I'll confess to you guys transparently, before Christ and even early in my Christian walk in my late 20s, I had a real difficult time. If I felt like I was justified in being upset with somebody or justified in getting them back, and I felt there was clarity in that, there was a certain energy and a certain emotion that I kind of enjoyed. And I really, unfortunately, today, I'm sad to say that, but there was, and that was a maturation process that took time for me. It was clear to me that if there was any ambiguity, any gray area as to whether or not that person really meant to hurt me or not, or hurt my family, then I was okay with letting it roll over. You know, I wouldn't deal with it as I should, probably, in the principle of Matthew 18. But if there was any clarity about somebody trying to do something to my family, my brother, my parents, me, and I got clarity on it, there was that energy behind it. And that's very, very disappointing and very challenging. So it is countercultural, counterintuitive, and counterflesh. The reward for it is beyond the world's visibility. And we saw that in that passage. So in the world's eyes, this looks weird, but yet it's intriguing. In the world's eyes, I believe forgiving, godly forgiveness is so intriguing that the hardest of hearts are at least pricked a little bit with interest. You see people that in the Muslim world, you know, when they're out here persecuting these Christians as they were running through Syria, and you see, you hear these stories, you don't see, but you hear these stories of these guys going, why are you responding the way you're responding with so much love and so much kindness? I mean, we just beheaded your family member. And this idea of the impact of forgiveness and how it penetrates through the hardness of hearts is amazing. So we see Christ call us to this. So why, obviously, we want to be about forgiveness. We're called to be about forgiveness. But why today is forgiveness so difficult? It's through the lens of time. You can look through history. You can see that forgiveness has never been something easy. But today, we've got some real issues with forgiveness, especially in a Western context, I believe. And here's a couple of things. One, godly forgiveness is one of the most discussed but least practiced principles of our faith. I truly believe that. Go around and talk to people, and even in the church, you'll find there's pockets of people that just avoid other people. And you and I say church collectively, okay? And you go, well, why are you avoiding that person? Well, we had a run-in a few years ago, and what happened with that? Well, we don't talk about that. You don't talk about it? No. Obviously, it's impacting and affecting your life. And then in families, you see it. Over and over you get it. You know, it's interesting. There's a woman, Lisa, I think it's Turkhurst. She is the president of Proverbs 31 Ministries. And she wrote a book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And if you haven't read that book, I've got halfway through it. And very seldom do I refer a book when I'm halfway through it. But it's just been very good. It's very rich. As you can see all my tabs on the top there. But in that book, she says this, I am a soul who bites the concept of forgiveness until I am a hurting soul who does it. Thought that was fascinating. And so with that said, you know, what does that look like for us today as believers? Well, we're going to talk about that in more detail. A worldly forgiveness is rooted in a civility of avoidance rather than an engagement of reconciliation. So what does that mean? That means if I tell you from a worldly sense, oh, I forgive them, then what am I really doing? I'm being civil. I kind of avoid them. We don't get in arguments. I don't invite them to Thanksgiving. You know, we don't go out for pizza together. We just kind of coexist. We don't really deal with what's going on. Whereas biblical forgiveness, godly forgiveness, calls us to something else. It calls us to engagement of reconciliation. Because we are what? Because of what Christ has done for us, we have the ministry of reconciliation. And as ambassadors of Christ, we're called to do what? Be agents of reconciliation. So this is really not an option for a perpetual or permanent solution to our issues. There may be times where you feel like I'm not emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually prepared to engage this person. The hurt is so deep, it's so hard, it's so difficult. I would encourage you not to stay in that rest position for too long, because you'll be convinced it's better just to leave it alone. But there may be a season where you just have to take a deep breath, seek godly counsel, and be civil. But it always has to move to this with true godly forgiveness. Unless you can, and this is part of this engagement of reconciliation, unless you can, as the peacemaker's ministry would say, truly biblically overlook the offense. if you can truly do that. But I would dare say there's very few people that I have met that have that precious gift of overlooking offenses when they cut real deep, if they don't somehow, some way deal with it through a biblical principle of reconciliation. Yes, sir.
Okay, say we're 9/11 now. Okay, you're saying you should forgive these people, but you're not really saying that that there should be no penalty for what you're saying.
You're about to hear what I'm about to say about that. Yeah, no. The discipline, the punitive nature, the retribution, vindication, godly discipline, those articles of our faith and how we respond to those are all things that are tied into this. And those are the challenges, I think, when we start talking about it. Because people do go to those places of how do we go about responding godly with godly discipline. Like, in other words, you know, as a state with a corporate offense like that, God's given us the ability as a state to respond to something like that. But this is more personal, but we will talk about that in more details. Yes, ma'am.
When we talk about the engagement of reconciliation, is that like believer to believer or not necessarily? I mean, how do you functionally reconcile with someone who's not a believer and doesn't own the offense?
Yeah. So that's one of the discussion questions, which is excellent, and it's a good question when it comes to Christian versus non-Christian. You're going to respond differently because there is the Holy Spirit's presence in another believer, and so there is that connection there. There should be that conviction there as a non-believer who doesn't respond with any kind of ownership of the offense. Then there's a different response to that. And it may be that your reconciliation with that person is more of you personally reconciling what's going on rather than being able to get them on board with what's happening.
So it goes beyond the civility, because the civility just kind of denies that it happened.
Yeah.
But the reconciliation.
Yeah, the key word there is this, avoidance. Yeah. I mean, there could be civility in this, but the civility of avoidance is simply, my goal here is to avoid them and avoid the situation.
Again, your forgiveness might be a testimony to them.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. What I just said just now, this is so countercultural that they need to see some level of that reconciliation, even if it means them not really attesting to their part or their role in it.
And it could be a family member. It may not be. Out there.
Could be, very much so. But y'all give me till next Sunday, and I promise you we'll tackle these because they are all excellent questions, and we'll get there, okay? We'll get there. All right, so what time is it? Oh, it's already 10:30. Wow. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of go here to forgiveness demanded but not given is the catalyst for conflict, confusion, and chaos. And that's what we're in a world we live in today, okay? So let me kind of unpack this for just a second. I want you to forgive me if I do something horrible to you. I want you to give me second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chance. But if you do something horrible to me, I'm going to cancel you. I'm going to shut you down. And what happens is that just kind of tilts the system. And people get so confused. And then communication shuts down because people see the duplicity in that and the inconsistency. And the corruption. And so people don't want to talk to one another. They get upset. I see it in the church, and I'm not going to go down this road too far, guys, but I see it in the church at times when there is disagreement over overtures or over certain opinions or certain translations. And there's this idea of I'm not agreeing with you, and you've said something to me that offends me, so I'm going to kind of cancel you. And it's not prevalent, but it's there some of the times. It's there. And so I think there again, this is why today in the world we're living in, and there's other reasons too, but three right there real quick as to what we're looking at and the challenge that we have with this situation. So, okay, now it is 10:32. I have a new members luncheon. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to shut it off right here. But as you can see, we're going to talk about defined, godly forgiveness defined next week. Then we're going to look at the difference between worldly forgiveness and godly forgiveness. Okay. Then we're going to approach some discussion questions. All right. So that's a little primer for next week. So hopefully you show up next week. If you don't, I'll just figure you don't want to talk about forgiveness.
You'll never forget.
I'll never forget. Let me pray. Let me pray. Father, thank you so very much for this class, this community. Thank you for their love for one another, their prayers for one another, Lord. Thank you for their love for you, dear Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us an opportunity to be forgiven and so that we can forgive others. Help us as we wrestle with these challenging questions that have already been presented, Father, and just knowing that your Spirit gives us the strength to do which is that which is impossible with man. It is possible with you. Pray that you would guide us now, lead us. I pray that you speak through Pastor Reader in the second service. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.